it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Welcome into A to Z Sports Primetime on this beautiful Tuesday night from the Zen Sports Studios. I'm your host, Buck Rising. If you're new to the show, I'm proud, as always, to be presented to you by the great people at TrueMav Fitness. TrueMav Fitness in the Gulch is where you go to get the best possible workout, to get your first workout free, to try all their great offerings for yourself. Go to TrueMavFitness.com. Today, Two Rivers Ford, the South's most trusted Ford dealer, also the presenting sponsor of the live show with Greg Cosell and Rand Carthon on Friday. Two Rivers Ford in Mount Juliet or online at tworiversford.com. And, of course, Zen Sports, up to $1,000 on your no-danger first wager. All you got to do is plug in the promo code ATOZTN and get in on all the action. Got a new offer for you from Zen Sports that I'll tell you more about later on in the program. So, we've got a draft class. We've got seven picks. We've got five on defense and two on offense. We've got a very meat and potatoes, for lack of a better term, look to this roster construction, to the way that the Titans went about addressing needs and trying to find the best players available to fill those needs. So in going through the roster today on the radio show, we were talking about position groups that, you know, we felt better about after the draft, places that they still needed to add. And looking at the numbers, there's still some room to work here for the post-draft free agency, even accounting for, and they haven't announced officially their UDFA class. They still continue to accumulate players, and I'm sure we'll get a release either Wednesday or probably, I mean, for sure by the end of the week before they have the rookie minicamp and schedule the rookie minicamp for next weekend. We will have a full list of those guys, but even in the, as they continue to add, they're still under the 90 spots that they'll need, and that's because, obviously, there are offensive linemen in free agency that you can continue to add. You have safety needs, of course. Off-ball linebacker is still a question mark, and their edge group is pretty thin. So as we look at the way that the Titans went about this and try and dive deeper into the players that they added, how many starting jobs are actually up for grabs on the Titans roster right now? With these rookie picks, we talked to Rand Carthon on Saturday, and he gave us the answer about they expect multiple guys to come in and compete right away. So how many jobs are being competed for right out the gate when this team opens the voluntary work later this spring? Let me know in the comment section on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and on Twitch. We'd be happy to have your participation. It's your Two Rivers Ford take. As always, it's presented by the South's most trusted Ford dealer. That's Two Rivers Ford, where you go for quality American-made Ford vehicles and all their new non-specialty Fords sold below MSRP. You can't get better value and better customer service the way that Two Rivers Ford has been doing it for over 40 years in Middle Tennessee. Two Rivers Ford in Mount Juliet, just 7 miles east of Nashville International Airport, the South's most trusted Ford dealer at tworiversford.com. How many roster spots are up for grabs? How many positions are up for grabs? Now, starter is something that I think we get caught up in a little bit because, you know, for example, who's the starting running back for the Tennessee Titans? Well, I honestly think that's going to depend on the week. Now, maybe Tony Pollard shows himself to be a more consistently reliable option. Tajay Spears, we haven't seen a full sample size of yet. So I don't know how much I can rely on Tajay to be a down-in, down-out player if they need him to be. We have a pretty good feeling. He certainly has the traits to be a three-down running back, but we haven't seen him do it yet. He had Derrick Henry in front of him in his rookie season, and he was productive as a rookie. Definitely one of the better playmakers on the football team, but we don't know definitively whether Tajay Spears or Tony Pollard is going to be the quote-unquote lead back. There may not be a lead back. There may be a lead back on any given week. And so starters, in that sense, you know, what personnel grouping do they come out in? Are they starting with three wide receivers, or are they starting in two tight end sets? Are they coming out in their base defense, or is their base defense now nickel? Are three corners a part of the starting rotation, or is that something that they're going to vary on depending on the multiplicity of the defense that they want to play? So, you know, you can have a little flexibility. You can have a little wiggle room on this stuff. There's some room for nuance here. But in principle, how many starting jobs are up for grabs right now? As I see it, and now that we've gone through the draft, I would say that there are two on the offensive line, right guard and right tackle. Right now, J.C. Latham is the left tackle, so that job is not technically up for grabs, though, you know, I mean, it would take a disaster for him not to earn it, and he's not going to be outright given it, but he's going to be the starting right tackle to get him as many reps as humanly possible. But right guard, they don't have anybody officially penciled in. Right tackle, they don't have anybody officially penciled in. So those two positions in particular, I would look at first and foremost. Starting tight end, is that just automatically Chig's job? This is a new coaching staff. It's fair to assume that Chig should be the starting tight end here, but he has not really established himself yet, and I think a new training camp with a new coaching staff is going to be interesting to watch. Ken Caniff says Brunskill isn't a lock. No, I don't want him to be. You shouldn't want him to be. You should want as much. You have a ton of players that can play guard on this roster. You should want as much competition as humanly possible, because Daniel, I think he's a great option as a reserve. He's a great option as a reserve. He can play multiple positions. That matters. He's competent. He's intelligent. He knows the system. And he's had 2 years to work with this particular group of players. But I would like to see him pushed out of the starting lineup in an ideal circumstance, because he's a below average starter and he's probably not a starting caliber player. He's best as a depth guy in an ideal world. So he may be the starting guard at the start of the year, but I don't want to, you know, I don't think that that should be a lock by any stretch of the imagination, nor him nor MPF. So two offensive line jobs open for business. I'm going to pencil in, Dennis Oliver says he was our best offensive lineman last year. Offensive lineman last year, says Dennis Oliver. Yeah, but your offensive line was shit. So if he's the best offensive lineman on a shitty offensive line, does that mean that he should just automatically keep his job? No, you should run and replace as many of those dudes as humanly possible from last year. You've already got two out of the five down in Latham and in Cushenberry. Peter Skoronski, you're hoping for a better year from, but Daniel Brunskill being the best offensive lineman last year doesn't mean anything to me on the league's worst offensive line. That's a pretty shitty equivocation, and I think Brunskill would probably tell you that in an honest moment. I really enjoy talking to him. He's an interesting guy, and he's very transparent. So, you know, I think that there's a lot of stuff to like, and he's gonna be reliable. He's gonna be trustworthy, right? The problem is he's just not very talented. He's not very good. So for all of the good attributes that he have, it kind of reminds me, and you know, I don't say this to, you know, shit on Will Compton or anything like that, but Compton, to his credit, made a career in the league not being a great athlete, and he's still an NFL player, so you don't want to take anything away from him. To have nearly a decade in the league is an incredible success story. But Will continued to get jobs because of special teams and because he knows what to do if you put him in there. He's going to know the plays. He's going to know the calls. He's going to know the situation. He's seen a lot of different situations, and coaches like that from veteran stopgap type of guys. But Will Compton was on the roster, and what did that keep them from doing? Nothing. They drafted Rashawn Evans in the first round that year. Now, Rashawn didn't work out, obviously, so that was less than ideal. But Will and Brunskill, I think, are kind of in a similar vein when you look at them, which is, yeah, if you need to put them in there, they can give you something, and it's not going to be the worst situation in the world. Jacob Ray says, and Buck will never be invited on the bus again. No, listen, Will knows that I have a lot of respect for him, and you know, I don't necessarily think they have a need to have me on the bus. I think they're getting a lot better guests than me on a regular basis on the bus. But if there's no bad blood between the three of us, even though I talk a lot of shit to the both of them. So I think that when you look at the offensive line, two jobs open for sure. Tight end, we'll pencil in Chig. I think you should pencil in Chig. If you can't pencil in Chig, then something's gone seriously, seriously wrong. So we'll leave Chig alone in that spot. Spears and Pollard, I don't think that you need to necessarily assign a starter. So we'll say that those starting jobs are not up for grabs. Wide receivers, you wouldn't think that the starting jobs are up for grabs on the outside because you've got Ridley and Hopkins, but then what about the slot? That job is up for grabs. So that's three jobs on the offense in two offensive line and the slot receiver. And then to look on defense, you need to establish yourself with another starting defensive tackle alongside Jeff. You hope that's Tavondre Sweat, but that job's up for grabs. I would like to see somebody push Arden Key. I don't think that's going to be this year. But I think that I think it's fair to expect some level of competition, and they still have post-draft free agency to address the edge rushing need. So I'll say that there's a need there. Off-ball linebacker, job very much up for grabs, and then starting safety because your corner rotation is unlocked. So I'll say that seven total jobs at this point are available for competition. And it's not like every position won't have some degree of competition, some degree of roster backup that you want to see them work through. But for the most part, you have a good feeling about a lot of the players that are in place. Seven jobs out of 22 theoretical starting roles here, save the kicker, the punter, and the returners, though those matter, obviously, and we'll see how those competitions play out. You do have a kicker. You do have a punter. Well, hopefully Stonehouse will be healthy by the time training camp rolls around. Sounds like it's going to be a little later play on that as he works to get his plant leg right. So with all that being said, I identify seven jobs on the Titans roster that have legitimate competition opportunities. One of those in particular is the left tackle, or it could be the left tackle, provided that J.C. Latham doesn't secure that, though we think that's going to be on lock. Now, could you always add help there? Absolutely. I think that the edge group is probably the weakest. I would also put the offensive line in that discussion because you're still looking for veterans that can come in here and help this group right away. Hopefully J.C. Latham locks down the left tackle side, but you don't know that definitively just yet. And you've got guys like Andres Pete floating around out there that can play multiple positions. This was Chris Sims talking about one of the latest free agent signings that you saw in the immediate post-draft.
Are they going to have the biggest freaking team in the history of football, or are they going to have the biggest freaking team in the history of football? I mean, it's incredible. And this is another brilliant move. It's just depth with an extremely talented guy who hasn't been able to stay healthy. And you bring him there with Mulata and Lane Johnson. And, maybe he fixes a few of his issues, what he's doing playing-wise. But either way, right, if one of our guys go down, it's not like it's like, oh, no, we don't have a talented big guy there. I mean, it's incredible. It really is. It's just one after another. I mean, they're gigantic across the board. Juergens taking over at center is 305, right? You got Landon Dickerson, who's 332, okay? You got, by all due accounts, Steen from their draft pick last year from Alabama will be the other guard. He's over 320. And then you get to Mailata, who is what? I just want to make sure I got it right here. 365 with Lane Johnson dancing right under 330. Are you kidding me? Like, yeah, if you're in the NFC East, you better have some big boys playing defensive line because they're going to blow you the hell out of there in Philadelphia with that O-line.
So that's Chris Sims speaking about Mekhi Becton signing with the Eagles, right? Those are the kinds of post-draft free agency moves that you can expect, and you'll see guys like that go very, very quickly now that teams have obvious holes and the draft has concluded. A to Z Sports Prime Time is presented by TrueMap Fitness in the Gulch. Go to TrueMapFitness.com for your first workout free as a Middle Tennessee resident. No workout recycled or repeated. TrueMap Fitness is there to put you in position to succeed. I go on Fridays. They do a little something for the personal training crowd called Arm Farm Fridays, and that workout is a killer, but the results have been excellent. I always love my time at TrueMav, group classes, personal training. Just to be able to work out when I want with my TrueMav Fitness membership is also great because they have a top-notch facility and it's very close, conveniently located in downtown Nashville in the Gulch. Go to TrueMavFitness.com for that first workout free. So looking at the jobs, I feel like there's seven available that are up for grabs. Steven Rodriguez points out that they have about $30 million. I haven't looked. I probably should today or tomorrow look at over the cap and see the kind of salary cap situation. So Titans in effective cap space have about $25.5 million to budget for rookie contracts that haven't been signed yet, because remember, these players have not yet agreed to their rookie deals. They haven't been signed to their rookie deals, though you'll see guys agree to terms over the course of the next couple of months leading up to training camp. So 25.5 is probably the more accurate number, and that still puts you top four in the NFL in effective and available cap space at this point. Pats, Commanders, Jags, and then Titans have some legitimate resources to play with, and they're not going to cut anybody at this point. So that's basically the money that you have to work with, and that can go out and add some quality. That can work to your advantage, and a veteran edge rusher, and bringing in some additional depth at wide receiver or the offensive line. And you still have some needs in a couple of different places that, you know, as training camp plays out, you may not be satisfied with your options, and players who are longer in the tooth that don't want to go through training camp will also be available to you as the summer wears on. So you feel pretty good about the situation that the Titans are in. Even if you didn't love their draft or didn't love the value of their draft, they're still in a good spot to continue to add depth to these positions of clear and obvious need. So with that being said, how many rookies do you think are capable of claiming the starting job? So again, the draft class, 7 picks, 5 on defense, 2 on offense. J.C. Latham, you go then to Vondre Sweat, Cedric Gray, the linebacker out of North Carolina. You don't have a ton of wiggle room in this particular draft class, because then you go to Jaquan Jackson, the wide receiver out of Tulane. You've got James Williams, the linebacker, formerly a safety from Miami, and then Harrell, the edge rusher from Michigan, probably not going to be competing for a starting job out the gate, but, you know, this is a player who was very productive in college, and so you have a bunch of guys that have great college production that have played a lot of football in their careers and that are coming into a situation where they can compete for a job right away. Out of those 7 picks, first round, second round, a fourth rounder, a sixth rounder, and 2 seventh round picks, which, how many of the rookies do you feel like can compete for jobs right away? Those 3, says Roy L. Wright. The first 3, J.C., Sweat, and Gray, Major Keys, agree. Steven Rodriguez says at least 3. Sad to say, we don't have a guaranteed left tackle after 3 years, 3 drafts, 3 injured quarterbacks. It is the most fair criticism of their draft, is that you don't definitively know who the starting left tackle is just yet, even though you know who they're going to start at left tackle. That's not a guarantee. Matt Fortner says at least 4 of the rookies will start games in 2024. Maybe 4 for Angelica James on Facebook Live. Well, Cedric Gray is one of those that's going to have an opportunity, right? They have pretty thin numbers, a lot of inexperience at off-ball linebacker, lack of starting experience at off-ball linebacker. And we talked about that with Michael Felder, who played safety at North Carolina, who knows Cedric Gray and his skill set very well and does draft and tape evaluation for Bleacher Report and for Stadium Network.
With Cedric Gray, they need a linebacker here, a running mate for Kenneth Murray. I don't know how much you remember of him at Oklahoma. Yeah. He's not been the best former first rounder. He's now here on a bit of a prove-it deal after his rookie contract expired in Los Angeles. More a downhill kind of, if you can get him to think less and feel more, he'll excel, or at least that was what Brandon Staley seemed to find with him, and that's what they're hoping to accomplish here under Denard Wilson. Cedric Gray, can he run the defense as a rookie, as a 3-year starter in North Carolina?
Yeah, I think so. I think that here's the big thing, and obviously you mentioned Kenneth Murray. These are 2 linebackers. They don't like getting touched. They do not like for people to put their hands on them.
Yeah.
But that's the whole goal of Sweat, right? Drafting Sweat is the goal for him is to occupy 2, maybe even 3 guys. And then what do these guys do? They get to run around with nobody putting their hands on them. So you have Kenneth Murray, you throw in Cedric Gray, and you run, they can run, or they'll make tackles. These guys aren't afraid of contact. That's what I'm, I hope folks understand this when they listen to this. I hope folks realize I'm not saying they're contact averse. What I'm saying is they don't like a guard or a tackle, like a 325-pound man. I don't know if you've ever had this, but a 325-man getting on you is not fun.
No, I can't say in my life. Zach Martin sat on me one time in a semi-state championship game in high school, but that was about the extent of my experience.
So the goal is, I don't want to get touched. How do you not get touched? We bring in T'Vondre Sweat. Cool. We have Jeffrey Simmons. Awesome. So now I can run. These are runners. And it reminds me a little bit of like what, Alec Ogletree? Like, they're runners. These are runners. They're not guys that are going to, like, they're not Patrick Willis or Luke Kuechly or whatever it is. Like, they're not that. They don't want to run through something. They want to run to something. And I guess, oh.
So that's Mike Felder, who was great today on the radio show. You can go check out that full interview on the 104.5 The Zone YouTube channel. You can also subscribe to the podcast. That's him talking about Cedric Gray. A to Z Sports Primetime is presented by the great people at Zen Sports. Download the app, plug in the promo code ATOZTN, and get in on all the action. Zen Sports has another great offer for you. Zen Sports stays giving you guys excellent offers because betting just gets better at Zen Sports. And what they have sent me today to tell you guys about is, whoa, that's an ad, an example of the ad for Zen Sports. What they have sent me today is the promo code ATOZTN to get you continual offers on those no danger first wagers. They also have the VIP program at Zen Sports. If your Zen Sports play qualifies, they will give you all kinds of comps, odds boosts, promotional items that you can get involved on. You can also earn points to get benefits on concerts, on live events, all kinds of great things for you in the Zen Sports app with the promo code ATOZTN. Get involved on the action. So as we look at the players that are capable, I think, of competing for starting jobs right out the gate, I'm going to say four. Latham, Sweat, Gray, Jackson, the wide receiver. I think he's capable of starting day one. I think he's capable of pushing Kyle Phillips potentially off the roster, if not to the practice squad. I think that Jackson, provided that they keep him healthy and upright, because he's got the same problems as Kyle Phillips as far as his size. If he gets hit squarely, he's going to get blowed up, and it's a big man's league, and he's not a very big man. But he's tough, he's physical, he's aggressive, he's excellent in the return game, and he is going to give them a dynamic that they require in the slot that requires a degree more of durability. So whomever remains durable enough to play in the slot would be ideal. Now, ultimately, if you could get, Kyle Phillips through the practice squad, get Mason Kinsey off the roster, for example, that would represent an upgrade, right? That's what you're trying to do year over year. But I think Jackson is going to push some people down the depth chart, which you should feel pretty good about, especially if a sixth round receiver is capable of doing so. Quickly, while we're talking about draft picks, the live show is on Friday. It's coming up with Rand Carthon, with Greg Cosell, and we're really, really excited about it. And something else that I'm excited to get you guys involved in is we have gotten Rand and Cosell to agree to participate in a Q&A with the audience that's in attendance. So I'm not going to be the only one asking the general manager and the executive producer and chief analyst for NFL Films questions about the Titans picks. You guys are going to get two. Now, here's the catch, okay? Everybody's going to get the opportunity to ask questions. For those of you who are going to be in the house, it's going to be cool. But here's the catch. This is a fundraising event for Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, all right? And so in order to help us raise some money, I was trying to think of creative ways to get you guys incentivized to donate. So what I'm going to do is we're going to open the floor up to two Q&A sessions, one with Rand and the other one with Cosell. What I'm going to do is I'm going to say anybody can ask a question, but those of you who donate, and I'm keeping a list, I get live updates to my phone every time one of you donates, and I'm going to keep that list for the people who are going to be walking around with the microphones. I'm going to prioritize those of you who donate to Leukemia and Lymphoma Society because they're out here doing the great and important work of helping find cures and therapies for blood cancer. You're going to hear, you guys, how many, it's not like we can do a show of hands because I can't see your hands, but for those of you who have been watching the primetime show long enough, the more competent producer that I had before we got Bert, his name is Producer Reed. Producer Reed, many of you know because he worked with me for the first 3 or 4 years of this show. Get out of here, Bert. Get that out of here, Bert. Not till the end, Bert. Damn it. See, this is why Reed is better. Producer Reed beat Hodgkin's lymphoma. All right. Reed beat blood cancer, and he's dealt with a ton of different health issues as a result of his work through Hodgkin's lymphoma. But he came out on the other side. He's in remission, thank God. And Reed is going to speak to the audience at the Install Live show because it is in an effort. He nominated me to run for their Visionary of the Year campaign to try and raise money. And so that's why we have dedicated the live show to blood cancer research and for fundraising there. So we are going to allow those of you who attend to ask questions, but those of you who donate, I'm going to prioritize at the live event. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to drop the link in the chat for you right now to donate to our Visionaries of the Year campaign in the YouTube, the Facebook, the Twitter, and the Twitch chat for you guys to get ahead of the rest of the people because I'll put out a call in real time when Rand is on the stage. But if you want to get to the front of the line to ask the GM your questions, you can get that opportunity right now. I'm not saying you have to. We're not trying to stick you guys for more money for those of you who paid money to come to this event. But I do think it's a great opportunity to raise some additional funds for a really, really important cause, one cause that means a lot to not just me, but to you guys, because Producer Reed made this show great for a long time. He's gone on to do bigger and better things, and we're excited for him. But he's taking time out of his schedule to come speak to the audience at the live show in one of the intermissions. And so the least that we can do is help to raise some additional funds for Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. Bert in Sanford says, you're fleecing us. Well, yeah, but I'm fleecing you for cancer research, you know? I'm fleecing you for cancer research. At least if I'm going to fleece you for anything, it's going to be for a good cause, okay? Know that it comes from a good place. And I'm just trying to think of creative ways to, you know, get you guys to be a little more generous. That's how it goes. A lot of you have, and a lot of you guys have personal stories. For example, Royale Wright says, my mom didn't make it through leukemia. So you know how awful it can be, how much progress they've made in terms of the treatment therapies and how many success stories there are. But for those of us who have dealt with incredible losses in our life, either family, friends, loved ones, because of various types of blood cancer, this is a great way to make sure that we can prevent further loss of life in as many ways as humanly possible. So that's my spiel. I'll get the list. I challenge one of you, at least one of you, to donate by the end of the show today so that I can start to build my list for those of you who will be asking Rand Carthon and Greg Cosell questions at the live show on Friday. Bossman Jim says, Buck, why not live stream for us that can't make it and just charge us the same price as the ticket? Because I want to have something good for the in-person crowd. There's got to be, it's like, why do I do a radio show? Why do I do a streaming show? Why do I do 2 podcasts when I've got 4 shows that I host? I want all of them to be different. I want all of them to be unique. I want all of them to have little carrots for those of you guys that listen and for the install crowd. The Install is one of the most popular podcasts on the Westwood One network. That's nationwide. So, going to do a little extra for that particular crowd because that podcast has really, really been supported. Not that the primetime show isn't great too, and the radio show audience hasn't been solid, but a radio show audience been better than solid. Radio show audience been kick ass. But, you know, we're just trying to do something unique for each of the audiences, and that's something that's particularly special for the in-person crowd. Who can participate in that because it's a local event. So we're trying to do something extra special for the locals. It's not like, maybe one day Greg and I will take the show on the road, but this year we're keeping it local. Anyway, Buck doesn't understand super chats, says Trilogy Taylor. Yeah, I don't know shit about super chats. I don't know what any of that means. So perhaps there's, hopefully I'm not missing out on opportunities. Perhaps somebody will educate me about super chats at a later date. But in the meantime, that is the situation that we've got. Joshua Mullen says the link isn't working. Bert, maybe you can have better success with the link. If you would be so kind, let me see if this link doesn't work a little better for those of you that donate. I think this might be the, I might have clicked the wrong link. There, that's the right link. That's the donation page. That's the one that specifically goes to our campaign. It's going on Bert's OnlyFans. Yes, indeed. OnlyFans. Producer Reed would have helped you, says Brian Spivy. Yeah, Producer Reed would have done that better than I did, which is why I am not good at this. This is why I need Bert and Reed, because I am incapable of doing all of this stuff on my own. I'm very grateful for everybody's help, except for Bert. Bert's not very helpful. Either way, so you can click that link, the link that I just dropped in the chat. I'll keep a list of those of you who are going to ask questions, and I'm going to give this list to our promotion director, Rich Ferris, on the night of the event. And so those of you that have donated to Leukemia and Lymphoma Society to help us raise money for this great cause, there will be opportunities the night of, so you don't have to do it right now. And I'll remind you on Wednesday and on Thursday during the primetime show too. But this is for those of you who want to get to the front of the line, which is great. All right. So we will keep it moving and we'll wrap things up with a Gone Viral video. There's a lot of fun playoff series going on right now in the NHL and the NBA. And always there's great content to come out of the Inside the NBA cast. We're going to get to a great clip from Charles Barkley here in just a second, right after I remind you that the folks that present the primetime show are the Ashton Real Estate Group of RE/MAX Advantage. Don't sell without the intel, the official real estate agent of the Preds that have a Game 5 playoff game tonight. Go to GaryAshton.com for more information. So what is the best video that I saw on the internet this week? Well, that's obviously Charles Barkley talking about the Pelicans getting eliminated.
Disappointing on us. Where they going, Chuck?
Galveston. That dirty ass water. They not even going. We not even gonna send them to Cancun. We gonna send them to Galveston with that dirty ass water be washed up on the shore. You people think they in the beach? Y'all okay? Y'all gonna send y'all to Cancun. Y'all drive y'all and y'all quit. Drive your ass down to Galveston. Come on, man.
So they're not taking a little.
Come on, they didn't even try, man. We're not getting them no plane ticket to the beach. We send their ass to Galveston, Texas, right where that dirty water washed up on the beach. So they can't even get in the water. Oklahoma
City, 100-85 in game three. It's